Trouble, according to Humphrey, chapter 9, too much pain. While I'd been worrying about everybody's troubles, my classmates kept working on Humphreyville. One day, they all left to go on a field trip to the town hall. How Og and I would have loved to go along. When they came back, Tabitha, Seth and Richie made a model park with swings and a slide, a baseball field and lots of trees. Tabitha must have made dozens of paper leaves for those trees. At the same time, Gail and AJ built a courthouse with pillars made out of the cardboard tubes from the middle of paper towels. Mrs. Brisbane always keeps plenty of paper towels near my cage. Garth, Art and Heidi made a school out of plastic blocks, had a playground too. Humphreyville would certainly be a fun place to live with two playgrounds in it. I wasn't sure what Miranda and Sarah were working on, but they kept looking over at me and giggling. In fact, their giggling made me uncomfortable. The more they giggled, the more I wiggled, and that made them laugh even more. I was glad to see that Miranda was feeling better. I wished I felt better. I felt especially bad when, on Tuesday, Mrs. Brisbane suggested that Paul spend some time helping Mandy study for the maths test she was going to retake. "Know it all, Paul," she blurted out. "He's just a baby." "He's not," a voice called out. Art had actually jumped out of his seat, and his fists were clenched, though I don't think he was the type to hit anybody. Paul looked as if someone had already punched him in the stomach. Mrs. Brisbane wasn't happy. "Sit down, Art. Now, Mandy, that was cruel and uncalled for. I demand that you apologise right now." Mandy hung her head. "I'm sorry," she said. "Paul's so clever. He makes me feel stupid." "You are not stupid, Mandy. No one in this class is stupid. Now, I want you and Paul to sit at the back of the room and go over your test together, while the rest of us work on some other problems." This time, Mandy didn't complain. She and Paul sat at the back of the room. He went over her paper and quietly talked to her about it. Sometimes she seemed puzzled, sometimes she nodded her head. By the time the maths class was over, she and Paul both looked happier. On Thursday, during morning break, Mandy took her maths test again. She worked hard, sometimes tugging at her hair, sometimes sticking the tip of her tongue out a little. I do that too when I'm concentrating. She worked through the whole break period and then, with a loud sigh, handed her paper to Mrs. Brisbane. "I'll mark it right now if you like, Mandy." "Okay, but I probably didn't do any better. You studied, didn't you?" "Yes." "Do you want to stay while I mark it?" Mrs. Brisbane asked. "Yes, please," said Mandy. Mrs. Brisbane took the test to her desk. Og didn't move a muscle, but I nervously gnawed on my paws. The teacher's pencil made some marks on the first page and a few on the second. On the third page, her pencil didn't even move. Mandy sat with her head down on the table. She couldn't stand to watch Mrs. Brisbane mark her test. Finally, Mrs. Brisbane stood up. "You got 85%, Mandy. That's a good, solid B. Maybe even a B+. Congratulations." Mandy had a smile on her face that I'd never seen before. "An 85? Yes, he must have studied. And maybe Paul helped a little." "He did," said Mandy. "I'll thank him. And I have something else." She reached into her pocket and pulled out a somewhat crumpled piece of paper. "The permission slip to bring Humphrey home. My dad finally signed it." Mrs. Brisbane walked over and took the paper and examined it carefully. "Well, this is a good day for you, Mandy. Your maths mark went up and you'll be taking Humphrey home this weekend. Now, you have to promise me one thing." "What's that?" asked Mandy. "That you'll never say you're stupid again and that you won't ever call people names." "I promise," said Mandy. I felt so happy. I jumped on my wheel and spun like crazy. I heard a giant splash and I knew Og was taking a swim because he was glad too. For a while, I'd forgotten the trouble. I even chewed some Nutri-Nibbles and yogurt drops I'd been saving. Yum. That afternoon, Mrs. Brisbane called Miranda and Sarah up to the front of the class. "Why don't you tell the class about the surprise you've been working on?" Sarah and Miranda smiled at one another. Miranda had something wrapped in a cloth which she put on Mrs. Brisbane's desk. In most communities, people honour whoever the town is named after by putting up a statue, said Sarah in her clear, soft voice. "So we made a statue of our founder, Humphrey." Miranda lifted the cloth and unveiled a statue of me. It looked exactly like me, except they'd painted it shiny gold. And all the students applauded, and Og let out a loud boing. Miranda and Saya placed the statue right in the middle of the park. "I hope you like it, Humphrey," said Miranda. "I liked it all right, okay? I loved it. I didn't like the feeling I was feeling inside. I think it's called guilt. It's an awful feeling, like when someone does something nice to you, but you do something rotten to her." I crawled into my sleeping hut. The guilt feeling came right along with me. When Mandy's father arrived in room 26 to pick us up after school on Friday, he also had a small boy by the hand. The boy had big brown eyes like Mandy, and a brown coat which was far too big for him. Mrs. Brisbane shook hands with Mr. Payne and bent down to greet the boy. "What's your name?" "Brian," he said. "Brian, how old are you?" Brian, or Brian, held up three fingers. "Three? Well, in a few years, I hope I'll have you as a student in room 26. "There'll be two more coming before him," Mr. Payne said in a gruff voice I didn't like. Mrs. Brisbane led Mr. Payne over to my cage. "And this is Humphrey." "Hope he doesn't eat a lot," he said, eyeing me suspiciously. Mrs. Brisbane handed him a couple of plastic bags of food. "This will take care of him. Humphrey likes vegetable treats too. Mandy knows what to do, right?" Mandy nodded and tugged at her father's jacket. "Come on, Dad, let's go now. Stop brushing me. You left the twins in the car?" asked Mandy. "Had to." "Well, they'll murder each other. Come on." Mandy took Brian's hand and Mr. Payne took my cage. He wasn't too gentle, so I flipped and flopped around. "Bye, Og. Wish me luck," I squeaked to my friend. I usually feel sorry for Og. He doesn't go home with students unless it's a long weekend, because he doesn't have to eat every day. Today, I envied him. "Murder? In the car? In the car I was going to ride in? Boing." Og twanged. I appreciated his concern. It was a long, long, long ride to the Payne's house. Or maybe it just seemed that way because of the Payne family. In addition to Mandy and Brian, there were the twins, Pammy and Tammy. I'd guess they were around 5 years old. They may have been twins, but they didn't look alike. Pammy had light brown hair and red skin. Everything about her was round, round face, round eyes, round cheeks, and a round body. Tammy was as thin as a stick of rock. Her hair, eyes, and skin were very pale. There was one thing they had in common. They both liked to complain as much as Mandy did. "I get to sit next to Humphrey," said Pammy. "No, I get to sit next to Humphrey," said Tammy. "You're too rough," said Pammy. "You're too loud," said Tammy. "Pipe down," Mandy said. "You hurt my ears," said Brian. "You kids all drive me crazy," yelled Mr. Payne, glancing at the back seat. "You're driving too fast," said Mandy. "He's driving too slow," said Tammy. "You hurt my ears," said Brian again, covering his ears with his hands. I wanted to squeak, "Please, please, please be quiet," but no one would have heard me anyway. Finally, we got to the house. I thought the Paynes wouldn't argue as much outside the car. I was wrong. When Mr. Payne plonked my cage down on a table in the living room, it felt like an earthquake. He helped Brian take off his coat and gloves, muttering, "Hold still, Brian." Pammy, Tammy and Mandy threw their coats on a chair and rushed over to my cage. "I want to hold him," Pammy announced. "Me first," said Tammy. "Later," said Mandy. She peered in at me. "Sorry about the commotion, Humphrey. I'll let you rest a while, okay?" "Thank you, Mandy," I squeaked loudly. "Hear that?" he said. "You're welcome," Mandy told her sisters. I heard him say, "You're ugly," said Pammy, giggling. I heard him say, "I like Tammy better than Pammy," said Tammy, poking her twin in the ribs. Mr. Payne slumped down in a beat-up old chair, rubbed his eyes. "Let's get this show on the road," he said. "Mandy, why don't you make us some macaroni cheese for supper?" "Again?" asked Mandy. "You're the oldest." "I hate macaroni cheese," said Pammy. "I love macaroni cheese," said Tammy. Mandy stomped into the kitchen. Brian followed her, shouting, "Brian, help! Brian, help!" About that time, Mr. Payne turned on the television. The twins immediately raced over to watch it. "I want Channel 5," said Pammy. "Channel 11," said Tammy. Stop your belly aching. We're watching Channel 7 and that's that, said Mr. Payne in a voice I definitely wouldn't argue with. For a while, the twins were silent. The TV was loud as people were screeching, or maybe they were singing. The Paynes remained quiet until I heard Mandy say, "Get out of the way, Brian. This is hot." Then I heard Brian go, "Ow!" And Mandy said, "I told you it was hot. Now sit down." Brian rushed back into the living room, rubbing his hand. Then he noticed me and started poking his fingers in my cage. Meanwhile, I could hear dishes banging around in the kitchen. I really wished I could see what she was doing. I'd been to a lot of houses and I'd never seen anyone as young as Mandy make supper. But that's what being a classroom hamster makes it interesting. I'm always learning new things about humans. Later, Mandy brought plates with macaroni cheese in and the family continued watching TV while they ate. When they were all finished, they argued over who would do the dishes. "It's your turn," said Mr. Payne. "It's always my turn." I'd never seen Mandy so annoyed. Finally, she carried the dishes into the kitchen, muttering under her breath, "I have to do everything around here. I'll soak them, but I won't wash them." The Paynes carried on watching TV, arguing from time to time over which channel to watch. Brian fell asleep first. Pammy fell asleep next, and soon after that, Tammy dozed off. Mr. Payne carried them off to bed one by one. "Fun evening, eh, Humphrey?" said Mandy. She checked to make sure I had clean water and food, and my bedding was all nice and fluffy. She was really nice, although if she'd complained, I'd have understood. "I'd like to keep you in our room, but it's too crowded," she said. "If you need anything, just squeak." I'm never shy about squeaking up for myself. Mr. Payne came back into the living room alone to watch TV. He dozed off eventually, but I was wide awake. Around midnight, I heard a scratching at the front door. Mr. Payne didn't wake up, and the scratching got louder. Somebody was fiddling with the lock. Somebody was trying to break into the house. "Wake up, Mr. Payne, wake up," I squeaked as loudly as a small hamster can. Before he opened his eyes, the front door swung open. A bright light was flicked on and I heard a heavy clomp, clomp, clomp across the floor. My eyes were adjusting to the light when a loud voice said, "What is this doing here?" I saw a very tall woman looking down at me. At least she seemed very tall to me at the moment. Most humans are tall compared to me. "How dare you bring this rat in here without asking me?" It wasn't the first time I'd been insulted, but I'd never been called a rat or referred to as an it or a that. The woman didn't stop there. "If you think you're bringing another mouth to feed in this house, another mouth for me to support." "Pat, it's not like that." At last, Mr. Payne was on his feet, rubbing his eyes. "It's Mandy's class pet, and it's her turn to bring it home for the weekend." "The teacher wants a pet. Why doesn't she take it home?" said Mrs. Payne. I could see her better now. She was wearing a light blue cotton top, with matching trousers, with white shoes. Her hair was pulled back in a ponytail, and she looked tired and unhappy. "They sent food for it. Mandy was so happy. She'll do all the work." Mrs. Payne looked a little less angry and a lot more tired. She sighed loudly. "She'd better. Speaking of food, I'm starving." She disappeared into the kitchen, but I could soon hear her complaining again. "Thank you for washing the dishes." I was pretty sure she was being sarcastic because nobody actually had washed the dishes. "You expect me to work these awful hours at an awful place with those awful old people and come home and do the dishes?" She was back in the living room now, yelling at Mr. Payne. "And you sit around all day waiting for a job to fall into your lap," she continued. "It wasn't my fault the factory closed down. You know I've been trying to find a job for a year now. I've applied everywhere. When was the last time you had an interview?" Mr. Payne had that look some of the kids get when their team loses a game. "Jobs don't grow on trees. I'll do the dishes after I make you a sandwich." Mrs. Payne sat down in the shabby old chair. "I know it's not your fault, but I hate this job. The pay isn't even enough to support us. And at night, the old people get so restless and crabby. It's awful. It wasn't as bad on the day shift, but I get paid more working at night, even if I hardly ever get to see my own kids." Mr. Payne sighed. "And I see too much of them, believe me. I don't want to hear you any more complaints about the kids. They need their mother, that's all. You think I'm not doing a good job taking care of them? Asked Mr. Payne. His voice had an angry edge. You're doing an okay job, not a great job. Mr. Payne stomped towards the kitchen. I'll get that sandwich. Of course, it'll just be an okay sandwich, since I can't do anything right. Thought Mandy's mum was about to cry. Suddenly she noticed me again. What are you, a gerbil? Golden hamster, I squeaked, not that she understood or cared. Mr. Payne brought his wife a sandwich and sat down on the sofa. More bad news, Mrs. Payne announced. Trudy's moving to day shift, which means she can't give me a lift anymore. That means you'll have to pick up the kids, pack up the kids in their pyjamas, put them in the car. I know. We'll have to pick you up late at night, said Mr. Payne. It's not my fault. Mrs. Payne took a big bite out of her sandwich. You're saying it's my fault? Look, we've been over this a million times, she said. I need a job and you need a break and the kids need clothes and we need another car. Never mind, Jerry. Let's just drop the whole thing. Mrs. Payne nibbled at her sandwich and turned the sound up on the TV. Mr. Payne went into the kitchen and ran a lot of water, so I guess he was doing the dishes. When he came back, Mrs. Payne turned off the TV without saying a word and went to bed. Mr. Payne followed her. Finally, I was able to piece together the trouble at Mandy's house. Her father had lost his job. His mother had a night job, apparently taking care of sick old people, and she didn't like it. The Paynes needed more money. All weekend, I listened to the Paynes complain to one another. On Sunday afternoon, Mandy performed a superb cage clean for me. First, she put on the disposable plastic gloves Mrs. Brisbane made all the kids use. She took a plastic spoon and cleaned up my poo corner, fluffing up my bedding, changed my water dish, and while she did so, she talked to me. Now, I was only too happy to listen. I bet the other houses you go to are happy and fun and everybody laughs all the time, right? We used to be like that. Well, kind of like that, till Dad lost his job. You understand? I squeaked as sympathetically as I could. I'm glad you can't talk. I wouldn't want you to tell my friends about my awful family. They're not awful, I had to squeak up. In truth, they're pretty awful, but more than that, they were unhappy. Just then, a mum came into the room. It was Sunday, but she was dressed to go to work. What on earth are you doing? She asked. Cleaning Humphrey's cage, Mandy explained. That's disgusting. I can't believe your teacher makes you do that kind of stuff. It's worse than my job and you don't even get paid for it. Really, it's okay, said Mandy. I have gloves, see? I put everything in a plastic bag. I don't mind. Well, I do. Mrs. Payne looked round the room. Where's your father? How should I know? I wasn't sorry when Mrs. Payne tramped out of the room. I was sorry she was so unhappy. Lucky you, Humphrey. You don't have to live here all the time, said Mandy. As she closed my cage and ripped off her gloves, she even jiggled the lock to make sure I couldn't get out. Got to go and wash my hands, back in a flash. While Mandy was gone, I thought about all the students and their families I'd helped on my weekend visits. I'd managed to get Miranda and her stepsister to go from being enemies to being friends. I helped Mr. Morrells, the most important person at Longfellow School, get his children under control. I'd even helped our teacher's husband, Mr. Brisbane. Still, what could one small hamster do to help with such a big, big, big problem? This family was in trouble, and I didn't have an idea of how to help. I knew one thing. Compared with the Paynes, I had absolutely nothing to complain about. Humphrey spends weekend with the Paynes. I've dreamed of this for a long time, says Mandy. The Humphrey Herald.